Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And we are here at our favourite time of the, well, sporting calendar, not even rugby calendar. Waiting for the start of the Six Nations. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hello, Timothy.
And there's Phil. This is our Six Nations preview podcast. It doesn't get better than this.
It doesn't. The only time which might be better is late September. When football season...
Back in 63.
Oh, yes. Good. Football's kicking off, rugby's kicking off, and NFL all kick off simultaneously in a glorious cacophony of sport.
This is true. There's something really romantic about the Six Nations. I think it's most people that play in the United Kingdom and Ireland, I think most people that play rugby or played rugby or are involved in rugby, that was probably their first window into it, in most cases, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of like a gateway drug into the world of rugby.
And how good it is. So, yeah, very soon, the Eddie Jones montages will be back. On those, by the way, they sort of jumped the shark for me a little bit a while ago. They become a parody of themselves to an extent.
Sorry, but Eddie Butler montages, not Eddie Jones.
Eddie Jones, no. Eddie Butler montages have jumped the shark for me. However, especially when they're being used on World's Strongest Man.
Yeah.
Yep.
And on the NFL show on the BBC.
Are they used for NFL?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Not as ridiculous as the BBC continuing to employ Brian Moore. I think that is the most the most ridiculous move.
I like Brian Moore. I've said it before.
I'll say it again.
I like how biased is the right word. Just blatantly biased he is. Him and Jonathan Davies.
I do like Jonathan Davies.
Both of them are so biased. It's incredible.
Jiffy when he's talking over the top of the referee on the ref mic.
No, I actually
and just Davies. shouting, the spears wide, overlap.
Yeah, but he knows his stuff though. I mean,
he does.
Like, you watch some of his old videos as well, which have made it to YouTube now. And you literally just couldn't coach what that guy could do.
Oh, he was an incredible player.
League and union. Which is why he's such a good commentator, because he can do one then the other, and his knowledge is just, it's right up there. Brian Moore, not so much.
Brian Moore, you know what's coming, boys. You know exactly what's coming. Here we go.
So England in possession. Much of the ball
and
at
it's
all.
Away again.
Toby Flood.
Sick.
He's a professional. I mean, it's so stupid, isn't it?
I like that passion.
Yeah, look, everyone likes the passion, right? But you know, it doesn't have a place when you're meant to be doing a professional broadcast. You couldn't imagine Nick Mullins doing that, could you?
Not so much.
Yeah. No.
I mean, no. God. Yeah.
Nick Mullins is the commentator, and Brian Moore is Brian Moore isn't the commentator. He's the colour guy, the summariser, the analyst. But the point is that quite often you go, they're there for their, well, I suppose he's there for his passion. I prefer Brian Moore's passionate bits like that to the analytical bits, which quite often involves intense conversations about scrummaging.
Yeah.
On that one, by the way, Eddie Jones has come out and said that he's I wonder what he's.
Eddie Jones has got stuff to say about Brian Moore.
He's got stuff to say about scrummaging.
Oh right, got him.
He's come out and said that the refs need to sharpen up on it and make sure it's a proper contest and get the ball in straight and make hookers hook.
Mind games. I wonder,
is he a little bit worried because we've been talking in recent podcasts about Mako Vunipola being a bit vulnerable, and Mako has come out and said, I need to improve.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I wonder if there's a point to the mind games.
Oh, there always is.
Yeah, there will be. If you can just put that kind of seed of doubt into refs' minds.
Did anyone read the interview with Eddie Jones in GQ?
In GQ? No.
Yeah. I didn't know he was talking about what clothes he wears or he goes on holiday?
It wasn't the most in-depth interview. It was... I'm just making sure.
Talking about what supplements he takes before he goes and tries to get ripped for summer.
Ibiza's best clubs.
Hang on. Yeah, I did say GQ. It doesn't look like it is GQ at all. Members at vitality.co.uk. God knows what that is.
Vitality, what do they sponsor one sporting thing? Is it cricket?
Could be.
Is that Vitality as in like the insurance?
I think it might be. So, yeah. It looks like.
So it's like your best relaxation. Eddie Jones's top six places to relax on a summer holiday.
where you lower his blood pressure.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's just a basic Q&A. Like, do you have any sporting heroes? And what do you know what his nickname is?
Jonesy, Yoda,
Beaver.
Yeah, same as. Stephen Donald.
Mm. Yeah, who is your mentor?
Bob Dwyer.
Jake White.
Me.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
That's the kind
Jonathan Beerman. No. I was going to get what he said.
That's the kind of thing that Mike Phillips or James Haskell would say.
Yep. What's the best part of being a rugby coach?
Cash? No.
only have to work 4 months of the year.
Never having to grow up. I think he's probably right there.
Yeah.
Seeing if there's any other interesting... It's relatively interesting.
Dean Richards actually did an article, I was reading it in the rugby paper, saying there's no way, even if I was offered the England job, I'd take it because I would be so bored most of the year.
He's absolutely right.
I couldn't do it. He said he couldn't do it.
Yeah, there's so little coaching that goes on, and when you got only limited time with the players, it is a hard job.
Mm. Oh, it's definitely a hard job.
Especially when you start losing in 2018, hashtag downfall 2018.
One of the hardest parts of the job, from me looking at it, is... So he has got to, and he spoke about talking to the wider squad, so talking to a group of 50-plus players.
And maybe Don Armand.
Yeah, 50-plus, maybe... Or maybe not including Don Armand and Ollie Woodburn.
Perfect. So we're now going to do our mandatory Don Armand 10 minutes.
No, that's done. That's done.
How is he not one of the top 50 players who are England qualified? has he taken about our advice and gone to Portugal with his bags?
We will wait and see on that one. However, just interestingly, let's talk about the broadly across the Six Nations. One word seems to have dominated the build-up so far.
Hashtag downfall 2018.
Injuries.
Across the board.
I'm not having it.
So, yeah, not just England. Wales and Scotland in particular.
I don't think it's a crisis. Everyone's got injuries all the time.
That is true. Scotland, they're props. There's a few guys I've never heard of who could well be packing down for Scotland.
Yeah, well...
When Daryl Marfo is out injured, doesn't make the squad because he's injured.
Yeah.
You know you've got some issues.
Well, look, Wales won the Grand Slam, their first one. Not their actual first one, but the first one in modern history. And in that September... They had their whole backline injured. Their whole backline. So this has been happening for years. It's just part of the game. You have to accept. So like 25% of your squad are going to be injured.
Yeah, it was exactly that. The stats show that in professional rugby, 20% of any squad at any one time is injured.
Yeah.
So I agree that it's part of the modern game, and so actually it's no good moaning about it when it happens because you know that sometimes it's going to be more than 20%, sometimes it'll be less than 20%, but you've got to prepare for that. England's player pool means it's not going to bother them as much, and also the positions that those players are in, with the exception of Billy Vunipola.
And Nathan Hughes.
and Nathan Hughes, who are both out, with the exception of number 8.
Well, Mike Brown's out as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Sounds like he's out.
Yes.
And Rob Shaw.
Touch and go. Yeah.
But that could be a blessing for England, because it's going to mean they can, you know, gradually shift to Watson at fullback, which...
I don't like that one bit.
Well, maybe at international level it'll work in a way it doesn't seem to have, albeit in a not very fluent bath. But Scotland, I think their front row, you have to say that is going to seriously affect their issues. Hooker, prop.
Yeah.
Like all across the front row, big players unavailable. They're really threadbare without the deep player pool that England have.
Yeah, they definitely don't have that deep player pool. So it will affect them, but it shouldn't affect them that much. They're still going to get a front row. They'll still get 6 in your matchday 23 professional players.
Exactly.
Who will do a job.
They'll be all right.
And as for Wales, Alan Wynne-Jones has come out and said, I don't care about injuries, there's no excuses, we have to deliver.
Exactly right. And they probably will. I mean, they've got the Scarlets playing amazing rugby. You know, the Ospreys are dreadful this year. But, you know, that front five, with the exception of Dimitri Arhip, absolutely terrorised Saracens. And that was Nicky Smith, Scott Baldwin, Bradley Davis and Alan Wynne-Jones. So it isn't that bad.
Oh, no, their injuries in the front five. Yeah. The ones for Wales are... So the most important positions, to have, in my opinion, to have continuity of are 8, 9, 10.
Yeah. Yes.
And they've lost Faletau, they've lost Webb, they've lost Bigger, and they've lost Priestland.
Absolutely.
So that is difficult.
That will...
Gareth Davis is a fine player, though. And
Gareth Davis is a great player.
I would go straight to Scarlets and say, well, just, you know, we'll just take what you have at 9 and 10, and we'll go with that.
Sam Davis.
I wouldn't, no, because he's playing in a terrible team and...
No, not Sam Davis, Davis.
Dan Jones.
Dan Jones is the one I was thinking of.
Neither of those two are in the squad.
Not in the squad.
No, they're not in the squad.
So it's going to go...
Is Patchell in the squad?
Patchell
has been playing 15 for Scarlets. I think he will line up at 10
only
for Wales.
Only because he's very good at it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not because he's been ousted as such.
And Halfpenny has had some injuries.
Yeah. So I think they should go straight with that.
That's a good point, actually, that particularly if you've got Halfpenny in, you can put someone like Patchell into 10 and you take a whole load of pressure off him because he doesn't have to kick.
Yeah.
He almost never has to kick if he doesn't want to.
He just plays his rugby.
Yeah.
And the other thing as well is when Bath met Scarlets, everyone talks about the fluid rugby, but they were pretty dominant in the set piece too. In fact, they were really dominant. That was against Abano, Thomas and Dunn, who are all... I think they're all in the wider England squad.
Yeah, they have all the...
I would say to Wales, you say 8, 9, 10. They've got 8, 9, 10. Also 11, Liam Williams.
Yep.
12 is a position where they haven't really got a solid answer as who is our first choice 12.
James Lang.
Then their 13 is out.
He's out, yeah.
So...
And the captain.
Why no one is knocking on the door of James Lang at the moment to get him in a wider squad, I do not know.
Well, we will see. But let's... how do you want to work this? So, I thought... Well, I'll tell you what, let's start with this. Because we're sort of touching on it here in terms of who were the most people you would least like to lose. Most valuable player. Most important player for each side.
Okay.
So, shall we do reverse alphabetical order? We're starting with Wales.
Go for it.
Talking about Wales. Most valuable. So I think it has to be Alan Wynne-Jones.
Completely agree.
So he has captained Wales before and has made some odd decisions. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of experience as a captain in Ospreys. He is by far the most capped Wales player with 113. He's one of the most capped players in the tournament. He was the starting lion. Yeah. As well, which a few people were calling for other players, but he was starting Lion in was this his third series?
Yeah.
And one successful in Australia and what you would call a successful series in New Zealand. So his performance and his leadership is absolutely paramount, particularly when you've got other big leaders and big players in Faletau, in Webb, in JD, in Bigger, not there. So... A lot resting on Alan Wynne's shoulders.
Yes, indeed. I completely agree. No, you can't really look past that. What I'm... When you look at the fixtures, you could anticipate Wales could really surprise people and and do what they do quite often, which is look a little bit weak in the autumn internationals and then pull it together for the Six Nations. Equally, I would not be surprised to see them in a really bad way after 3 weeks when Dan Biggar is thought to be coming back. What I don't want is to start hearing about the injuries again then.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree that it should be taken off the table. It could happen in a World Cup. It did happen in a World Cup for Wales. And they coped.
Yeah, they did cope. They certainly coped better than England did.
So, let's just take that as an excuse off the table for all nations. We understand it's a factor. But Wales hosting Scotland, a tasty, tasty matchup. So you're going in reverse alphabetical order. So let's go to Scotland. Most important player for you from them?
For me, Finn Russell.
Yeah.
Yeah, Russell.
Finn Russell or possibly Stuart Hogg.
Yeah, I thought Stuart Hogg as well.
Because Stuart Hogg can create something else.
Conversation, even like people who are very casual rugby fans in your office, Phil, would actually like be able to contribute with Finn Russell, Stuart Hogg. We're just saying the most Alan Wynne-Jones. We're just basically saying, who's the best known player side?
One of the best ways to do this was do the most important player, because that is always going to be... That's always going to be one of the most important players. Sorry, one of the best known. Who's going to be most important for Italy? Well, probably Parise. But then look at who's going to be someone coming through that the average man on the bus hasn't heard of.
Good idea. Well, we'll get to that in a second then. So you said Italy. Yep, fine. Parise again. France. I mean, we'll have to wait and see what their team is.
Yeah, I have no idea who's the most important player for them.
Is Brunel just going to put it in the hands of a load of youngsters?
Well, so it looks like it. It looks like you're going to have Bellew and Dupont, 21 and 20-year-old halfback combination.
All I can say about Dupont is I've seen him play once, and I didn't think he was amazing. But everybody in France, around French rugby, thinks that this guy is unbelievable.
Well, I spent a little bit of time working a couple of cast games. Was it last season?
Yeah.
And Joe Alab was one of the coaches there, and he was like, this kid is something else.
Yeah. So. But I mean, they've already got a kid which is something else in Baptiste Saran.
Who wasn't in the original squad.
Yeah.
But has been drafted in because of injury to Morgan Parra.
I love him.
Yeah.
He's just such a good player to watch.
But they've also got Maxime Machinaud, who I really rate.
Now, he, in my mind, was one of the best players on the planet when he got red carded in the top 14
final.
I mean, he was so good. I don't think he's quite got to those heights again recently.
Well, Racing haven't been playing as well as they were when they won that.
But you're right there. He is he's an unbelievable player.
So it's really hard to pick a most valuable player. And it's probably...
I'd say someone who could light up the tournament. If he plays on the wing and if he gets some ball and if France plays some good rugby, Vakatawa. I love Vakatawa. He's such a strong runner and such a poised, balanced runner.
I thought you were going to talk about the boy with long hair in the scrum hat.
Which one?
I want to say he's from La Rochelle. Played against Japan. Hair everywhere.
Don't know.
Never mind.
No, not saying him.
Not him. Not that guy.
Not him. So, yeah, you're right. It will depend on who plays. Gerardo will obviously be important to them as captain and hooker.
My guess is they'll work out their most important player is... Louis Pickamalls, by virtue of him not being there.
Yeah.
And 3 games in, they're going to think, what have we done?
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
You probably have to go skipper, ball carrier, Guillaume Girardeau. He's been massive, hasn't he? But
and he plays hard as well.
Oh, man. I'm just looking through the squad. So many guys I don't really know. I don't know a lot about or haven't seen enough of.
That's all right, we're doing Italy next.
Yeah, well, Italy's easy, we can move on. Ireland.
Right. So, Johnny Sexton is their most important player, bar none.
Yes, I'll go with that. Closely followed by Conor Murray and CJ Stander.
That 9-10 is... We talk about important positions... they've that's as good as you'll get.
Eight, nine, ten. Stendham, Murray, Sexton. Now, I also want to say, not in terms of player, but their selection outside Sexton is really important. So you've got Henshaw, who's going to be nailed on, and then after that, I'm not sure what the rest of it exactly is going to look like. So you've got Bundiaki, who's in there, then the two young Munster centres, Scannell and Farrell.
Bundiaki,
indeed. Then on the wings, so you've got Conway, Keith Earls,
Stockers,
Fergus. So you've got two young lads, Conway and Stockers, then Fergus McFadden and Keith Earls, who are more experienced, but never really. They're playing some great rugby. Both of them are playing good rugby, but they've never really been exceptional at international level.
Well, Earls went to South Africa.
Yeah, as a very young lad.
Yeah.
As a 21, 22 year old. But he's never hit that height again.
No, he
again.
Hasn't really.
And then you've got two inexperienced fullbacks in Carberry and Lamore. So you've not got Carney.
I think you put Lamore onto the wing.
Yeah, you do. Hold on. You've not got Carney because he's unavailable? He's in the squad.
He's not in the squad I'm looking at.
He's in the squad I'm looking at. It's been trimmed down since the one I'm looking at. So the Ireland squad to face France and Italy has got Rob Carney in it. The one I'm looking at.
When was that announced? Because I've got one from the 17th of Jan.
22nd of Jan.
Ah, right, okay. Where I'm looking needs updating then.
No, it's all right. But the centre partnership, you're right, that is one to watch because that is... That's a partnership that needs to bed in. Henshaw and Oaki. And we will see.
Yeah,
they played together a bit at Connacht. Why not?
A lot of people have been, Ireland fans, I've noticed, saying, don't forget, when you talk about injuries, don't forget, we haven't got Sean O'Brien, among others. But actually, I don't think, you talk about players you miss, I don't think Ireland miss Sean O'Brien that much, which is amazing. That says exactly how strong their back row depth is.
Yeah.
Sean O'Brien is one of the best sevens, if not the best seven in the world.
He's pretty good, isn't he?
In my opinion.
Pretty good.
They will miss him.
Oh, they'll miss him.
But they've got the drop-off. The drop-off is not as enormous.
And also, it didn't always work when they had... Because it did for a while go with Heaslip, Stander and O'Brien. It doesn't always work for them because you need a better line-out operator.
Yeah.
Where Omani comes in, if he is available.
And then you've got Josh van der Vlier, who'll probably get the seven shirt. A different type of player. But quite a good balance.
And Jordy Murphy as well. And Dan Levy.
They're fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about Ireland. I think Ireland is going to win this year's contest at a canter.
I think you might be right.
And England, I'm going to say Mako Vinopola.
Short the scrum.
The ball carrying
ball
as well.
Ball carrying,
Without Billy.
Yeah.
He's going to have to do a lot of work.
Yeah, because they can't rely on Obono. No way.
No, they can't.
I'm just trying to think of people who are...
Or old Boyce.
Boyce or Hepburn.
Jeez. I think Hepburn's not available.
He had
a knock. I don't know.
I honestly think we're going to see Gary Graham start a game. I just got a feeling. It feels like the progression of Sam Burgess. I know.
He does this a lot. He does this. The number of players he brings into a squad and then never actually selects them. And then some of them he retains and looks after. Some of them he sheds and never sees again.
Who are you thinking of?
Mike Williams.
He broke his arm though, didn't he?
Piers Francis.
Kyle Eastmond.
He's injured.
Not right now.
Did Christian Wade not come into an early Eddie Jones squad and then he ditched him?
I don't think he's had Kyle Eastmond or Christian Wade.
Jason Woodward.
Yep. But again, he's slowly coming back. He's not been playing all season.
No, but these are all examples. So I'm not talking about the squad right now. I'm talking about guys who have been in Eddie Jones's squads over the past 2 years and never make it. He's had a look at them,
never seen
close
again.
Up, and they've never made it.
Makes an assessment. Who do I need to invest time in? This guy, yes. That guy, no.
Mm. Yeah.
So maybe he made that call over about Don Armand when he was in Argentina.
Nonsense. Utter nonsense.
I'm sure, going back into Don Armand now, I'm sure
he's on Rugby Tonight on Wednesday. Well worth checking out on BT Sport.
Eddie Jones must just, I'm sure there's something that Eddie Jones sees that we are just not seeing. And Eddie Jones is like shaking his head when all of the media pundits, whatever you want to call us, are calling for Don Armand. And Eddie Jones is probably like, listen, there's just a fundamental flaw in his game.
Yeah, so
he can't tackle with his left shoulder, or he can only... You can only pick up off a rook one way.
If it
something
was,
like that.
If it was, do you know what? He's actually Zimbabwean, and I kind of want people that have grown up dreaming of wearing, pulling on the rose.
I hope not.
At least you could respect the kind of sort of moral judgment of that. But that's not the case. Denny Solomona will probably be getting his first start against Italy.
Yeah,
and fair play.
I love Denny Solomona.
Nathan Hughes and Billy Vunipola have been. Excellent. I know the Vunipola's are different.
Genuinely think Denny Solomona is a brilliant player. But to think he is closer to an international shirt than Don Armand drives me insane. It's just unbelievable. And this is why I think he's going to lose the squad, because you're not doing your job right. You can't be doing your job right and telling the lads, yeah, look, we're all intense. We push it to the limit. We'll do our part and you do your part. If you haven't picked Don Armand, you've not done your part.
Go on, we are definitely over our Don Armand quota this week.
Ones to watch.
Don Armand.
Ones to watch, starting with England.
So, the players, the young lads, so for me it has to be Sam Simmons.
Really?
Because I think he's going to get game time either at 8 or 7.
I think you're absolutely right there. So it's got to be one of
You see him getting game time at 7?
Yeah.
I think if Billy or Nathan were about, I think he would get game time at 7.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
I think he offers something very different to Underhill in his explosive athletic running game. And I think that's his long-term position.
They are basically the same player, aren't they? Except one uses their explosive ability for running, the other one for hitting. It's just a mindset difference.
Well, Rob Baxter said he disagrees and he sees him as an 8.
I just can't see him as big enough for an international 8, particularly when you compare him to the alternatives.
Now, I know. When he is in the Exeter back row, he does have Don Armand,
right? who is enormous,
who can do a bit of carrying himself, and Kai Horseman's not a small bloke. You know, they've got big back rows in there.
Dave
alongside Ewers. Him.
Dave, Ewers and Armand.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. So one to watch. You're saying Sam Simmons. England. You're saying JB.
I think Phil's right. It's got to be one of the young back row. Or failing that, a guy who I think will get game time. I think he'll get a start. Is Marcus Smith.
I don't see him getting
well,
a start.
It's on the board. I mean, it's going to be England starting 10.
He's still got the asterisk apprentice next to his name.
Those asterisks remove themselves pretty quickly when Eddie wants them to.
My one to watch comes from a very different point of view for England. Anthony Watson has a chance to make himself fullback and the end of the Brown era. Like, not to say Mike Brown won't be in the squad, but this potentially, with Italy being the first game, it's set up for Anthony Watson, if he can take his opportunity, to completely change the dynamic of England's back three.
So, this is why I think you might be wrong. I think the biggest danger for Anthony Watson is he gets his crack at fullback for England. He doesn't do so well and he loses his position altogether. I think that's a bigger possibility than changing of the guard.
Interesting. Because I think Watson's best position from what I've seen is wing.
Yeah.
I do agree
you're right,
with you.
If he nails, so I think he probably will start against Italy, and it's then if he nails it, the shirt's his to lose.
Yeah.
But I think it's a toss of a coin whether he nails it or he doesn't look as solid under the high ball. He makes some poor decision makings when to run and when to kick, and Mike Brown walks back into the team.
The problem with Anthony Watson, and if he can overcome this, he'll be one of the world's great players, is he's too good. Like, he's so fast and so athletic. Like, how much do you actually work on all the other bits of your game if you're naturally that brilliant at rugby?
He is. Eddie Jones loves Elliot Daly.
Yep.
Eddie Jones loves Jack Noel.
Yep.
Anthony Watson compliments those two guys. And if he can prove himself, that's my
one
to watch.
Do you know who really would compliment those two guys? It's not Don Armand.
Well, Don Armand would do.
Well, I mean, Don Armand would at fullback. It would be
Alex Good.
Perfect. But of course, he's not even in the squad, is he?
No.
He's done his inside. Yeah. What a shame. What a waste.
He's one that he got called up to the first Eddie Jones squad. Eddie had a look at him. And
you must
never
be joking. Get out.
He's never been near a squad since.
I know.
France is one to watch.
Well,
they're half they're
that young halfback pairing.
Dupont, Bello, and
Jalibert
off the bench. There you go. Keep an eye on those youngsters.
And throw Baptiste Seran in there.
Yeah.
Why not? Whichever two of those four start, watch them.
Ireland one to watch.
Jordan Lamore, of course.
Yes.
Lamore and
will he get
Stockers.
Any game time? He'll probably.
Stockers and Lamore is hell of a combo.
For 20 and 21.
This is the real deal for Stockers as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Now he limped off against Wasps with what looked like a dead leg.
That's
so
fine.
Hopefully a couple of weeks and he'll be absolutely fine, because
we could possibly say Bundy Aki as well, because
I think we will.
Yeah,
I think we will.
No, no, no. I mean, but as one to watch, because this is kind of the proper blooding of Bundy Aki.
Yeah, only a couple of caps, hasn't he?
So this. The young lad at Ulster, who is not quite that young anymore, electric on the wing.
Hendo. He is good. He's good in wide channels.
He's very good in wide channels. Gilroy.
Gilroy, what's happened to him?
He's a bit shaky in defence. So very good going forward, but not always the best under the high ball and defensively.
Because he really is good going forward.
Yeah. He's not quite, last season or so, he's probably not quite hit the highs that he did when he did get called up to the Ireland squad. But
Who'll be the replacement tight end prop? I'm just looking at the props. Who'll be coming on behind Tadhg Furlong? Andrew Porter? Will he get perhaps. A look? Will he be the replacement?
Do we know John anything Ryan? About Andrew Porter?
I've never seen him play. Right, so then we've got Italy. One to watch. The legend, the man, the myth, the superhero. Ian
McKinley.
What a moment for that man.
Yeah.
Hang on. How dare you?
Oh, yeah, this is a bit hypocritical, isn't it?
How very dare you, Tim Cocker?
Huh?
Well, I mean, if Ian McKinley was a South African, you'd be losing your rag now.
McKinleyse.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
Jarno McKinleyse.
I don't agree with the fact he should be playing for Italy. I don't begrudge him playing for Italy. The story is wonderful.
Oh my God, get an eye condition and Tim Cocker's all over you. Unbelievable. The hypocrisy. But yes, I agree. Great for him and hope he goes well.
Yeah. Yeah. Echo those sentiments. But it will be very important. If he starts ahead of Kanna and ahead of Tomasso Allan, it'd be very interesting to see how he gets
on. It doesn't really start ahead of Tomasso Allan. Tom Allan. For Benetton,
does he not?
Not really. Not when I've watched him play.
You are a big Benetton.
Big
fan.
Benetton fan, you would know.
Yeah, I'm, from what I've seen of them, he would be their first choice. But you would know, obviously.
Yes.
And Wales, Scotland, sorry.
Scotland. So it might be. He's not a young lad, but he's new to international rugby. He's only got a couple of caps.
Oh, hang on. Where's a sneaky second here? In the Italy squad is Dean Budd, who's a very capable player, also captain of
Treviso,
Benetton rugby, New Zealand born, zero caps. He's pretty good.
Is that your recommendation?
Yeah. Watch him.
Is he second row?
Yeah.
Mm.
Big second row. Good captain, good leader.
Watch Dean Budd.
So,
Scotland. Now, he's got a few caps, but I still think of him as relatively young. Hamish Watson, open side flanker.
Yeah.
He is very young.
He's a great player.
If there is an example of what some people have talked about, a test animal...
Yeah,
because he never—he doesn't. He doesn't. I mean, he always looks competent and good.
At Edinburgh.
At Edinburgh, but he never looks... That guy's a star on the international stage, but he just looks so exciting when he plays for Scotland.
That's the problem with playing for Edinburgh, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
I tell you what, Edinburgh next year are going to be a serious proposition in the back row. John Barkley and Hamish Watson.
And Magnus Bradbury.
Yeah, I mean...
If they can keep him on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, I mean, I could play in that third... In that third back row position, and it'd still be a bloody good back row.
I'm going to say one to watch because Scotland's props have completely defied logic when you talk about our mate Daryl Marfo. Fourth choice in his position at Quinns.
Yeah.
Nips over the border and looks more than at home in international rugby.
Playing against Australia and New Zealand, he looked good.
There's the lad Jamie Batty.
Yes.
Of Glasgow. Well worth watching
now,
out for.
Now, Tim, I don't suppose you've seen any headlines that you enjoy about...
I don't know. Let me just
Jamie
have
Batty,
a look. Let's just take a quick look at the Wales Online.
What a rag.
He's killed 100,000 cows. Now he faces Wales.
Bravo. Bravo, you geniuses.
Are they drawing some links from that? Is there any conclusion as to... the implication of that statement?
That, yeah, he's coming for your wives and children and going to try and steal your land, Braveheart style.
Oh, my God. Wow. The people that work at that paper.
Just imagine being a person that works at that paper.
I can't imagine being that miserable. I can't.
Yeah. But there must be some journalists with real, proper integrity. I think I've found a good story here. It's a really interesting, thought-provoking piece. No, you need to sensationalise that more. Yeah, but that...
Yeah, but
no, I don't
cows?
Care. I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Dig for some more dirt.
Some of the worst journalism in rugby is done by the Wales Online.
Well, it's definitely some of the worst headlines.
Hey, I mean, if you want to... the most interesting thing the Wales Online or their contributors come up with are... Well, basically, Simon Thomas, when he talks about his home finances, that's about it. When he whinges about his pay packet. What a dull man.
So.
Wales. Now, he's already won a Pro 12 title, but he's 23. He's only got 5 caps. And because of some of the injuries, he will be vital to Wales. Steph Evans.
Ooh, nice.
Steph Evans is such a good attacking player, such a dangerous runner whenever he gets the ball. I think he will be really important.
Who will the Wales back three be without Liam Williams and without... George North is not involved.
Well, we don't know. George North might be. So George North...
Yeah, George North was training again.
So he was
dropped from Northampton's side to play in the Anglo-Welsh Cup against Sale as a precaution, apparently.
He pulled out last minute.
Yeah.
So he was listed, he warmed up, and then pulled out. They said...
How much was that...
He felt a bit tight.
How much was that Northampton squad worth? Does anyone know?
It depends who you get your information from.
Roughly. Is there a round number we could put
if it was... I don't know, let me just have a look at a quote by Steve Diamond after the game. he wasn't... I don't think he was bitter about losing to Northampton in the last minute of the Anglo-Welsh Cup. He said, our young kids did really well. Just for the record, Sale had a pretty much full-strength side out, except for 3, maybe 4 youngsters.
Yeah, so a fifth of the team.
So they had at least 2/3 of their full first-choice side. And Northampton won at the last minute at the AJ Bell Stadium. And Steve Diamond's response was to say, oh, well, our kids did really well. And fair play if Northampton want to come here with a full strength side worth £10 million.
What?
Then, fair play to him.
How would Northampton get I don't know. But if Diamond says it, it's correct.
A back row of Rybans, Ludlam, and Nutley.
Yeah,
is part of a £10 million.
Yeah.
How much are they paying their kids? who else? You don't need to know that.
Yeah,
Six Nations pod. So, who are we talking about?
Wales.
Wales.
So the wingers that they've got in their squad are Alex Cuthbert.
Yeah.
Hallam Amos, Steph Evans.
Yep.
George North.
Yep.
Liam Williams. Uh-huh. Josh Adams.
Now, Josh.
Oh,
Adams.
Josh Adams. Josh
and if
Adams
you count, Adams. If you count Lee Halfpenny as a back three option as well, they've got 7. Back three players. If you don't count
Lee Halfpenny,
don't count Reece Patchell.
I'd love him to play Josh Adams. Just give that a shot.
He's not going to do it. That's not Gatland. He's not going to do that.
No,
Gatland has never done that.
That's what I would do. Steph Evans on one wing, Josh Adams on the other. Let the boys play.
And Halfpenny at fullback to kind of
to let the boys play.
Yeah, that feels like a nice balanced back three.
Love it.
But ooh, it won't happen.
No, it's going to be Cuthbert and North with Halfpenny at fullback.
Wales one to watch is surely if he gets any game time. No, obviously, yeah. Owen Watkins not going to get any game time either.
This sounds horrendous.
No, he won't do because it'll be Williams and
Owen Williams then. Owen Williams is absolutely pivotal to Wales. They need someone who can connect the outside backs. Add a little bit of game management.
Yeah, that's not a bad
show. You know, everyone's talking about who's going to be the 10 for Wales. It's Owen Williams. I can't believe we haven't mentioned him.
No, I think they'll keep him at 12.
Maybe, but Owen Watkins is a good player.
Patchell with Owen Williams outside him. Game management, defensively quite good.
Defensively,
he got exposed a couple of times in the autumn. But so
he was playing 13 then when they brought him on. They gave him a real... Who was it? When did he concede that... Was it Australia they conceded, like, towards the end?
Mate.
I can't remember. You're asking
Owen Williams, one to watch. There you go, anyway.
That's a good shout, actually. Predictions, then.
Well, no, before we do predictions, I've got a quiz.
Okay.
I've got a Six Nations quiz for you, so...
Oh, sorry, can I just say one for Scotland as well, who we've overlooked, and I think I'll have a great Six Nations, is Byron McGuigan.
Yeah, I did... kind of start to mention him as a option for the wing.
He's a good player.
Do you think he will start ahead of Great Mates?
I think Great Mates on one side and then
Seymour and
Great Mates.
Seymour and Hogg will be in and then it's Great Mates McGuigan and Lee Jones competing for the other wing slot.
Well, McGuigan, I mean, he's won a match last time he pulled on a Scotland top.
Yeah. Two tries against Australia, was it?
Yeah, and he looked sensational. And he's one of those guys that, you know, he's not physically that, you know, anything particularly special. But the way he plays, he just plays with huge amounts of energy and enthusiasm.
No Tim Visser in the Scotland squad is amazing, but I'm delighted because he's in my fantasy rugby draft
team. Yeah, Henry Cloud.
Speaking of which, Phil, you've set up an ESPN fantasy rugby league.
Oh, yes. Thanks for reminding me.
Have you got the code and can we make a catchy tune like we did a few years ago?
I don't think we've got time to do that right now.
There will be a prize. If you look at a Facebook Live video, you'll see loads of rugby jerseys around. So we have loads of brilliant stash on show and there will be prizes to be given out. We are going to be doing an ESPN Fantasy Rugby League and we would love you to join and flex your fantasy rugby muscles with us.
Yes, exactly and, right.
And beat us, preferably.
Yeah. Do I have to play fantasy rugby?
You love fantasy rugby.
No, I love fantasy drafts.
Yeah, there will be a prize for the best. Good at it. I'm going to say right now, I haven't even checked with the boys, I'm going to say there is going to be a prize for the best name, best team name.
Yeah.
So even if your team finishes rock bottom, you could still win, but also a prize
I've already got my team name.
Are you going to win
this
prize?
Reveal it?
Yeah.
Go on.
President's Club.
President's Club 15?
Yeah.
We already have... How many? 39 entrants.
I just want to say for the record, I disapprove of you making light of of that.
President's Club is always.
All right.
Just name it.
Okay.
Yes. Go on.
So
one prize for name, one prize for winning,
and
we'll have a random prize draw if you retweet our little thing as well.
Yes. So get on Twitter at Rugby Podcast, retweet our ESPN link to so you will spread it to your mates, and there's a random prize draw.
Some great mates out there.
Yeah. Find your own great mates like our great mates.
Just like ours.
But if you don't have access to Twitter and you have incredible short-term memory, the code is 141-3040-57992.
Hold on, right, let's say that again.
111-3040-57992.
You can't make a catchy tune out of that.
I bet you can.
How many people are ESPN expecting going to create leagues? How many leagues are there going to be?
You can have four numbers and one letter.
11 digits. What's the maximum number of leagues they can accommodate with 11 digits?
So 7 digits would be a million leagues. Work your way up from there. So
is there seven, a maximum
seven,
unique
100 million, a billion,
with
one,
11
two.
Digits.
So it's 100 billion, Tim. 100 billion leagues.
So everyone on the planet would need to have at least one. Yes,
league.
Oh, no, watch. So at least one. Everyone on the planet would need to have near 20 ESPN leagues.
11 billion. Did you
say? 40, everyone on the planet would need 14 ESPN leagues.
Wow. Which means everyone on the planet they'd need to be in 15 at least.
Yeah,
leagues.
Tell you what, fantasy rugby is really, really taking off. If ESPN are right, this is going to be huge.
So, yeah, ESPN, fantasy rugby, and the code, as Phil said. Just rewind it and listen to it again if you want to know, or just
go to our Twitter.
At Rugby Podcast.
Yeah.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So, Six Nations quiz.
Oh, yes. Yes, please.
So you need something to write on. First question.
Okay.
Nearest the pin. In 18 seasons, how many wooden spoons have Italy collected?
In how many seasons?
18.
18. So this is since it went to the Six Nations.
Yeah. 18 seasons, Italy have participated. How many wooden spoons have they collected for being bottom?
Okay, then.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this is 5 points on offer for this one.
Ooh. Nope.
And it's the last five players of the tournament. I'm going to tell you the nationality and the year.
Okay.
You tell me the player.
Okay. Yeah.
So, 2017...
was
Scotland.
Yeah.
So, you tell me the player.
Okay.
2016...
was Scotland as well.
Scotland. Tell me the player.
2015 was England.
2015 was Ireland.
Was Ireland, Okay.
2014, England.
Mm-hmm.
2013, Wales.
Okay.
So who were the players of the tournament? In reverse order, 5 years. Scotland, Ireland, England, Wales. So... the tournament title sponsor has been held by one of three banks since 1999. Name the three banks.
Hang on. Banks or banking licences?
Banking, high street banks. High street banking names.
Ooh, okay.
I'm not in the world of high finance, so I...
Pension sales.
Yeah. So I don't acknowledge conglomerates and licenses.
So I actually think all these banks are under the same roof, are they not?
Hmm.
Okay. So. Prop.
Oh!
Okay. So there's 3 points on offer for that one. Next question. Name the trophy that France and Italy compete for.
I'm going to spell it wrong, but...
that's all right.
But I'm going to spell it right, am I?
Okay. Ahead of the 2012 Six Nations tournament, which Wales and British and Irish Lions player was Austin Healey talking about when he said, "I've had shits with more talent"? So before the 2012 tournament, Austin Healey said of a Welsh player, "I've had shits with more talent." Who was he talking about?
It could be so many.
Well, hang on. I mean, that's not necessarily an insult, because Austin Healey was phenomenally talented.
And he has a very high regard for himself as well.
He does. I mean, that actually could be...
But it's Austin Healey shit yes. that we're talking about. Yeah, yeah, Austin yeah. Healy. We do, just so you understand.
Yeah, he has an incredibly high...
His turds are high in fibre.
High in fibre, lots of protein.
Mm. I've got an idea of who it might be. It's certainly the only person... Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh, yes, I've got two more, which are slight, sort of funny stories that happened around the Six Nations. So prop Ewan Murray was brought back into the Scotland squad midway through the Six Nations a few years ago after suffering a freak injury.
Yep.
What was the freak injury?
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Wait, oh, you both just... know it. Good. I'm impressed. And finally, the Calcutta Cup was once damaged almost beyond repair by England's Dean Richards and Scotland's John Jeffrey after a 1988 match at Murrayfield. Mm-hmm. I just want you to... I'm going to give 3 points for this. What happened? And I won't... it doesn't have to be an exact answer, just a rough answer. That's worth 3 points. As it's a bit out there.
Okay, then.
Okay, so going back to the start, then.
So I've got 15.
I've got 13.
The answer, the nearest pin in 18 seasons, how many wooden spoons have Italy collected? The answer is 12.
Oh.
1-0 Philip.
Yes.
Okay, so the last five players of the tournament, yep. I gave you the nationality, you tell me the player. In 2017, JB, who have you got from Scotland?
Hogg.
I also have Hogg.
Correct.
Hogg, Russell, Sexton, Brown, North.
Okay. So 2016, Scotland, you have
Russell.
JB, Russell.
I also have Hogg.
Correct. Stuart Hogg. 3-1 to Phil. 2015, Ireland.
Sexton.
I've got Conor Murray.
Ugh.
Paul O'Connell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 2014, England.
Brown.
I also have Brown.
Correct. 4-2 Phil. And 2013, Wales.
North.
I got JD.
Ooh, that could be good. That could do it.
For some reason, I didn't write...
That was North.
No. What? I'm pretty sure Phil is right on that one. But for some reason, I managed to delete the answer.
I'm just quickly typing.
2013.
Play the tournament. Lee Halfpenny.
Oh, Lee Halfpenny, yes. Lee Halfpenny. Neither of you get a point. Still 4-2, Phil. So, the tournament's title sponsor. Give me one of the banks you came up with that have been the title sponsor since 99.
Nat West.
I also have Nat West.
Correct. 5-3.
RBS.
JB?
RBS. Also.
Correct. 6-4. Final one, JB?
Well, there's two. So, there's Lloyd's. But also, don't Investec sponsor Six Nations, or did? And they are.
What's your answer?
Lloyd's.
Phil?
I didn't actually know, so I've got Bank of Ireland.
Lloyd's is the other answer.
Right, but it's also Investec. But
Investec Internationals, they're not in the autumn.
Yeah, they might be. Anyway.
Yeah. Correct. So it's 6-5.
Yeah.
So, this was the trophy that France and Ireland compete for, France and Italy compete for.
It's named after a biscuit.
Yep, certainly is.
It is, in fact, the custard cream.
the nice Baroque design on that custard cream, you understand why.
A Garibaldi trophy.
Giuseppe
Garibaldi, he was...
He was a general, basically formed what we now know as Italy from lots of little city-states.
Yeah, he formed like the part of the French army or something like that. He had something to do with the French army. Anyway, he had something to do with both. Look it up. Find out.
Point each.
Educate yourself. Point each makes it 7-6. 7-6 or 7-5?
7-6.
7-6. Thank you.
One point game.
So, prop Ewan Murray was brought back into the Scotland squad midway through it. Oh,
we got one more. The Austin Healy.
Oh, yes. Who was Austin Healy talking about in 2012 when he said, I've had shits with more talent?
2012. He was good in 2012, though. Cuthbert is the only person I would go with.
Oh, Cuthbert's a good one. I've got him down as being more provocative than that and going for Lee Halfpenny.
Is correct.
You've got Lee Halfpenny?
He said of Lee Halfpenny, he's had shits with more talent.
Well done, Phil.
Yes.
8-6 to Phil.
with two to go.
Ewan Murray was brought back into the Scotland squad after a freak injury. What was the injury?
Axe wound, chopping wood, team building.
Nearly chopped his thumb off, or injured his thumb with an axe.
I will take them both. It was at a barbecue he was chopping wood.
Yeah.
And severed a thumb. 9-7. This one's worth 3 points, so JB can sneak a win.
So,
how was the Calcutta Cup damage between England's Dean Richards and Scotland's John Jeffrey? I am the adjudicator, and my say is final.
Do we have to read what we've got written down?
Yes. Read what you've got written down, JB.
As documented in the excellent Tom English book...
Phil, what have you got written down?
I've got... They were playing rugby with it on the streets of Edinburgh.
They JB. Kicked it down a road in Edinburgh. As documented in an excellent book by Tom English, The Grudge. Go and read it, it's amazing.
You both get 3 points.
No!
The answer was they were drunk and started playing rugby with the trophy.
Oh.
And that's how it got almost damaged beyond repair. Phil wins, well played.
Yes.
Just a word on the book, The Grudge, I know I've spoken about it before. The stories of the drinking are like nothing I have ever heard of or could ever invent. And I like a bit of a, bit of a drink. I simply... It blows my mind.
Just briefly before we get onto the games, stash favorite kit in this year's tournament.
Now, I'd always say France because it's a safe bet, but recently they've been doing weird things to their kit. So let me just have a look at the France top.
I having seen France, I love this French. I love the French shirt. I'll go that far. So they've gone back. So the last few years, they've had like a navy, a really deep blue.
Oh, my God. Is it with the red?
They've gone back to the blue, like the electric royal blue.
Is that it?
No, that's not it. That's years old.
No, it's that real French blue. It's brilliant. Their new kit's great.
Put my screen brightness up a little bit. Now, it is all, so shirt, shorts and socks are all the same colour.
Oh no, I don't like the pattern on it.
Yeah, that kit they've had before with the one you've got, Phil, with the sleeves, that was okay. But then they went a bit weird. That was when Ducatoire was still about. But then they went weird with all the dark.
Oh my word! Do Italy have gold trim?
Yes.
Their socks are incredible. Italy. Oh my word! Yes, I was going to say Wales.
Wales, that is the best Wales kit I've seen in years, actually.
Yeah. So can we all agree? Yeah, so this is...
Oh, that Italy kit's magnificent.
Yeah, yeah, look, just to highlight, because I think it's worth saying how good that France kit is. This was their kit, if I can get back to the right page. This was France's kit last year. And you see how that... look how dark that blue is.
I like that.
It's almost darker than Scotland's blue.
Yeah.
But they've gone back to the real... bright, vivid French blue.
When you imagine like the Adidas kits from the early 90s and that incredible free-flowing
that
French
is
rugby
a nice kit.
See, that's too dark. So I love the kit, but it's too dark for France.
I'm with you.
So France have got a great kit this year. But I'm with Phil. Wales, it's the best kit they've had in a while.
Yeah,
it is.
Look at the gold trim on those Italian socks.
I'm not so sure on the Italian.
Oh, magnificent.
I really think Canterbury have dropped. They had it nailed with the Lions jersey, with the old England jersey and Ireland jersey through the World Cup. Classic, simple. They've complicated it with those sleeves. Don't like it.
So one thing I will say about both the Canterbury, the England and Ireland shirts is the image I'm looking at is it being modelled by Dylan Hartley and Rory Best, who are... say, not the same physical specimens as, say...
Sergio.
Yeah, but do you know, look at Ireland...
Sergio, but that kit spread across... like
Don Armand.
Don Armand. Don Armand.
We should get the bell, Don Armand bell.
Marrow or Farrell or JJ.
Yeah.
One of those boys, I think it looks so much better than.
That's true. That is very true.
Than our front row friends.
Okay, so on the Ireland kit, just look at the socks, they're awful. Barcode socks, terrible.
Hmm.
And just, I don't like the different panelling on the shirt.
Yeah, I think it'll look good on Stockers. Stockers will make that work.
Excuse me.
And Henshaw will make that work.
Can I show you an old France kit? Just to highlight, because Phil was very keen to point out that he likes the shirt. Can I just show you, in fact, the kit was quite nice, but back when Pascal Pape was skipper, white shorts, red socks with the blue shirt.
Yeah. White socks, very nice. White shorts, red socks. It should be.
That's how it should be.
Definitely.
With the tricolour Adidas stripes. That's what we want.
Yeah.
Right. Stash ticked off, quiz ticked off, general ramblings ticked off. We should actually get into the games then.
Well, can we? Because we don't know the teams.
Well, no, we don't know the teams, so we'll do a brief podcast once we've got the teams, but we can nonetheless just take a look at the first round of fixtures.
Should we, and, well, tell everyone where to go and put their bets on for these fixtures.
LeoVegas.com. They love their rugby. They're the best place to go for rugby if you want to have a little flutter. And because they love their rugby so much, you can see that by the fact they come to us, and they also have a partnership with Leicester Tigers. They know what they're talking about, so they'll give you some really good options and up-to-date and up-to-the-minute options to make the weekend go even better, if that is even possible in Six Nations weeks.
Do you know what the odds were for Wasps to beat London Irish this week?
I'd say pretty long.
Yeah, 9-1.
9 to, because it was near full-strength London Irish team, and it seemed like a patchwork Wasps team.
12 guest players.
Wow.
What does that mean? Like, oh, we've got
so from like Bedford or
yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, because if you like, it's not like a Barbarians. We're just going to get Dan Carter in for a game.
Yeah, it's not quite that. It'd be amazing if it was.
So the fixtures, England. I've got to say, just looking at the fixtures broadly speaking, England are doing very, very well out of this year. They've got Wales and Ireland at home, and they start with Italy.
So this is the year England have three away fixtures, but the fixtures are the ones that you'd prefer to have away, shall we say.
The key game for England is Scotland at Murrayfield on the 24th of February. They've got a two-week build-up to that one, by which point they will have dispatched Italy, should beat Wales at home, although that will be tougher. I'm not trying to make it sound like that's a foregone conclusion, but they should beat Wales at home.
Well,
Scotland away, that's going to be the big decisive test for England, I think, in this Six Nations.
And then,
up to Ireland, sorry.
Yeah, repeat of last year, which was England's downfall, which was hashtag downfall 2017, when England lost to Ireland in the last game of the Six Nations, and Ireland completely outplayed England, suffocated them.
The games when we're out in Madrid are going to be, we're going to be in O'Neill on the Saturday watching Ireland v Scotland, followed by France v England.
And we will probably be back there or at the ground after the Spain-Germany game to watch 3 o'clock Wales versus Italy.
Wales versus Italy.
So I looked at chartering flights for next year's Tier 2 tour to
Georgia,
perhaps, right? Just to see who would like to guess how much a charter flight to Georgia would be for 200 people.
200 people?
Yeah.
So it's got to cost more than a... Well, you can't get direct flights to Georgia. You have to change Turkey or whatever. That's what I'm saying. So the fact that these flights don't exist currently, you can't go direct.
You can now go direct to Tbilisi from Manchester.
So
I think they've recently started doing it.
Yeah, game changer.
So when I say chartering an aircraft, we're just getting the aircraft just for us on our one journey.
We could do a live podcast on the plane.
Yeah. I mean, we could if it wasn't £80,000.
How much is that per head? 400 quid?
About that. And
so, but is that just one way?
Nope, it's return. Now, if we got a layover, it would be half that, about 40 to 50,000. But, you know.
What do you mean a layover? Like, just stopping briefly?
As in, like, a layover is when the plane stays on the tarmac and waits for you.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Oh, I see. As in,
you're in. Day or
you're in. You do a big business deal, and then you get back on.
Yeah, with your 200 mates. So.
Oh man, that would be incredible, though. So, is 400 quid too much?
Yes,
it is, isn't it? For return. Well, how much is flights to Tbilisi at the moment, Phil?
Just looking.
Hang on. Anyway, that was just a side story.
No, this is important.
Concentrate on
this. This is the Tier 2 tour next year we're talking about. This matters.
Ooh, so yeah, maybe there aren't direct from Manchester, or certainly not the dates I've got here.
Well, how can you get there?
380 quid.
£20 more direct and...
On the fun plane
with just Egg Chaser fans, a live podcast. We could go up and down with the trolleys with merchandise.
Oh, yeah.
And drinks and stuff.
Agar.
Yeah.
For a laugh, I'd bring on a crate of venomous snakes.
Now, just in case we do this next year, can you please just start a piggy bank?
We're not doing it. Okay, we're not doing it.
I now want to charter a plane to and from Georgia.
I want to charter a plane. It's on my list of things that I want to achieve in my life.
Regardless of whether it's to watch rugby or not.
Charter a plane.
Jay.
Get fired by press conference.
Jay, listen. How cheap
13 times.
Being banned from a rugby ground by the boss of a rugby squad you've already achieved.
Yeah, I have actually. I've been banned from a DOR. That's pretty good, actually.
Now, but Jay, how cheap is it in Georgia? It's dirt cheap to live and to entertain yourself there.
Well, we'll look into it further. I'll see if I can get costings on a smaller aircraft. I don't think we can get 200 people.
At Rugby Podcast, tweet us. Do you want to go on a charter flight? Maybe, I don't know.
No, go to Madrid first. Concentrate on Madrid.
Yeah, come,
we'll
to, come to Madrid in March and Georgia on our own plane next time. Wow. I can't get that out of my head now.
Yeah.
Wales have got, I'd say of all the nations, Wales have got the toughest fixture list. They've got to go to England. They've got to go to Ireland. And that's it, really. They've got home matches against the others.
Mm.
Has anyone got it worse off? I don't think so.
No, I think you're right.
So their injuries and their fixture list, I think it could be a really, really horrible Six Nations for Wales.
Do you know, though, Wales are pretty savvy in the Six Nations. They kind of know what they're doing. This is usually the time where they're pretty successful. So I worry about them, but not that much.
Opening up against Scotland on Saturday, 2:15. Mind you, under the roof in the Principality Stadium with all that noise and cacophony, that's going to be a big test for Scotland.
And the Wales online whinging about people drinking and not singing loud enough. Yawn.
There was a good interview. I can't remember where it was.
It wasn't with Wales Online.
It definitely wasn't with Wales Online. With Finn Russell talking about, well, various things, including his move to France, but also the chance that Scotland have in the Six Nations and the difficulty they've had in the past winning away. And that's the hurdle that they've got to get over if they want to. Because I think they've got the players to be competing for the title, but they've got to get over that. At starting in arguably the most inhospitable place to go, the Principality Stadium.
Is this the best in the Six Nations era? This is the best Scotland side that's ever been assembled.
Best Scotland team in my lifetime, I'd say.
So,
not lifetime, I don't think.
Certainly since I've been watching rugby, I don't remember as a Scotland
in the Six Nations era. I would say so. Yeah. It is a bit of a shame, as we mentioned, they've got some injuries, but as we also mentioned, so does everyone else.
Yeah, they'll get over it. And, you know, they're a good team now, aren't they? They've got good systems.
So, before we've seen the sides, how do you see Wales v Scotland going?
I think Wales will win, and I think they'll win by 5.
I think Wales will grind out a result. So you put the two front fives together, again, as we've already mentioned.
God, the Wales front five is actually frighteningly good.
It's a very good front five, yeah. Just that experience.
Exeter Chiefs had quite a good pack.
Yes, he did.
With a Welsh international tight head on their bench.
Tell you what, Tommy Francis.
He's got a lot better this year,
hasn't he? Just
he really has.
Like, he was actually he was actually comically bad at some points. against Leinster, he was superb.
His stats still aren't anything to write home about.
No, he was much more effective.
His scrummaging has got better, definitely.
I think the Gregor Townsend era has arrived, and I think Scotland are going to open up with a big statement that will send shockwaves across the Six Nations universe.
Well, let's hope so.
That would be a hell of a statement.
Yep.
To win
and
away.
Byron McGuigan to get 2.
Yeah.
France versus Ireland, 4:45 on Saturday.
I think Ireland are going to win handily here. So this is in France. I think Ireland will win by 10 or 15 points.
I think Ireland win, right? I see them being shaken up quite badly to about 70 minutes and then winning at the end with a kick.
No, that
I see France digging in, making it difficult for 55 minutes and then Ireland...
55 minutes, I'll go with that.
No, I don't see France... So, Munster and Leinster, and the majority of the pack is made up of Munster and Leinster, they've had games against Montpellier, against Racing Metro.
Yeah, Montpellier. Look at Montpellier side from the weekend. That, I mean, surely that was full of big French internationals. They've done very well.
3 French players in the certainly in the starting lineup.
It's an absolute joke, isn't it?
I did see a tweet that said that Montpellier team was basically a Super Rugby team of the week from about 4 years ago.
Yeah, they're not wrong.
Pienaar, Cruden, Surfontaine, Steyn, Nadolo, Tamani,
Mog,
yeah,
Duplessis boys,
both of the Duplessis,
Jesus,
and a couple of other unknown South Africans. Yeah, but they've travelled. So they've travelled to France, played monster packs, and both Leinster and Munster have coped more than manfully. So there's no reason to think that Ireland won't be able to handle everything. That
Ireland will win by 12.
Yeah, 10 to 15 points win for Ireland for me.
Italy, England, ugly.
Yeah, I think it'll be the classic game, isn't it, where it's, so England are going to work their little socks off because that's what they do. They're basically, you know, it's a version of rugby CrossFit, and Ireland will be Italy will not be too bad at that. I mean, I think they will work equally as hard. In the end, England fitness pulls through. Everyone talks about what a great loss it is for Italy and something to build on, and then they collapse later on in the tournament. That's how I see it going.
England will
20 points
score 5 tries and win by 20 points.
Do we have bonus points?
37-15, something like that.
Is there bonus points in the Six Nations?
Yes, there is. Yeah. The bonus point trial is being kept permanently after it was a success last year.
Hmm.
So yeah, that is happening.
Cool.
So I actually think Italy, this is the game where you have a spirited 55 minutes for Italy, because they, yep, virtually all bar 2 of their squad play in Italy now. Conor O'Shea has greater access to the players. They'll be well drilled, but ultimately they don't have the experience and they don't have the talent.
Is Mike Catt their attack coach?
Good question. Don't know.
I think he is.
Brennan Venters does some work with him, doesn't he? Or has done in the past.
Yep.
Obviously, Conor O'Shea.
Oh, Brennan Venter followed me on Twitter the other day.
Did he? The doctor?
Probably unfollowed me now.
You've been unfollowed by anyone?
Yes, I have, actually. How do you know that?
I don't know. I'll just ask, because you said you've been followed by anyone. I said, have you been unfollowed by anyone?
Yes, I have. And we'll talk about that later.
So I think this will be 55 minutes where it's relatively close. Italy will be within a couple of scores, and then Eddie Jones will bring on the finishers, and it'll end up 40 points to 12 to England.
Mm. Did you see Conor O'Shea talking about the England injury crisis when he was asked about it?
I did, yes.
It was brilliant. He absolutely nailed it, didn't he? Naming the England team like Jose Mourinho style. When it was, I can't remember what it was. It was like Manchester United v Chelsea in some massive game, or in some big European cup match. And he named.
It wasn't the final, was it?
It might have been the final. He named the opposition team, or a semi-final against Barcelona. He named the opposition team, and then he named his team. And actually, he did a little troll because there was a player that he didn't think was going to be fit that he snuck in there.
Mm.
When it actually
Hang on,
came.
Mate. I'm just looking at Sale's team here.
Sales team,
yeah.
slight tangent, but okay.
Yeah, because everyone's saying, you know, you said it was the most starting team. This isn't the starting team. Charnley, Haley,
Charnley,
Luke James, Adogwe.
Cliff didn't start.
Cliff came on four.
Yeah, Faf de Klerk started.
Faf de Klerk did start.
And talk me through that front five.
Wilkinson,
talk me through that front five.
Not got there. So most of the backline.
Talk to me about the pack, with the exception of the number 8, the England under 20, Sam Moore.
So Flynn,
yeah.
Jones,
yeah.
Well, Flynn doesn't start. Jones doesn't really. Yeah, well, Jones is sort of there. Yeah,
first teamers. Yeah, do you want to say the Northampton backline again? Was
Will Griff, John
Nutley,
Evans. Don't even know who that is. Oh yeah,
Bryn Evans.
All Black.
Kiwi international.
Yeah, I'm familiar with him. Beaumont just came back from injury. Ione, Neil Moore, not came on.
Pretty tidy.
Really?
It's not fun.
The two teams are much of a muchness.
Doesn't matter. It's Anglo Welsh Cup.
Yeah.
It matters to Steve Diamond, so it matters to me.
Even if he picked a load of academy boys, I can understand why some people raise their
Collins,
eyebrows
Stevenson,
at the way Steve Diamond...
PC Tuala.
Anyway, doesn't matter.
It's not £10 million quid, though, is it?
Yeah, that's the point out of this.
Yeah.
That Northampton team is not £10 million. Good, pounds.
Wow, good luck to that.
Conor O'Shea had a brilliant kind of rant, epic, not a rant, but he had an epic, like, you know, put the journalist in their spot. England's injury crisis, let me tell you, here's their team. And what I loved about it is he did it without any pause or any stammer. He just very articulately cut the journalist down. It was a masterclass.
And also cut Eddie Jones down, because it's Eddie Jones who's been going on this narrative about all the injuries, and he just listed a team that had hundreds of caps worth of experience. Yeah.
Well, I think the England thing is the front line 15 is actually in pretty good nick, but in fairness to Eddie, it's everyone beneath that. That's where they're starting to struggle.
Yeah, we're struggling in the second row really badly.
Yeah, it's bad.
Struggling at tight head and hooker, and struggling at fly half and 12 and 13 and 14 and 15.
Oh, did you hear about...
Elliot Daly's injured, so they might have to go with Johnny May and Anthony Watson Jack Noel or Denny.
British Lions. They've only got two British Lions to choose from besides Elliot Daly.
It doesn't matter. They're going to go down to Scotland and Ireland and maybe even Wales.
Downfall
2018.
And on that bombshell, when the teams are announced, we'll have a little quick take.
Hang on, give me a surprise pick for Eddie Jones with his team.
I'm not sure there will be one.
No, there won't be.
The surprise will be, well, it's
Denny.
Not even a surprise.
I think Denny Solomon is going to start on the wing.
Wow.
So Jack Noel is not fit, is he?
Nope.
So it'll be May, and that does depend if Mike Brown's fit. Mike Brown's 50-50.
Marcus Smith on the bench.
Interesting.
I'm not sure he will, because he'll probably do Ford and Farrell, 10 and 12, yeah, with then Slade on the bench.
Not for Italy, but here's...
Slade's injured, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, is he?
Slade's injured.
Maybe there is an injury crisis.
Here's a surprise pick, thanks to the wonderful BBC Rugby Union website, who are always accurate. They wouldn't have made a mistake. This must be accurate because it's the BBC. Manu Tuilagi started at 8 for Leicester Tigers.
Fair play.
In the Anglo-Welsh Cup. And it couldn't have been a mistake by the BBC because, they have made a few mistakes before on their rugby union pages, but I'm sure this time it wasn't a mistake.
Definitely. Well, Tom Vondell packed down at 6 today for Bristol.
Did he?
Yeah. He actually did, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Covering,
oh, he did.
Was it Chris Vui who...
Yeah,
Chris Tui who got yellow carded. Yeah. Tui? Wow. Vui?
Manu Tuilagi to be in for the Wales game.
Excellent. Right,
eight.
Let's go home.
We're done. Let's go home. Let the boys play.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.